Hey guys, it's Brent and Lila.
Hello.
We're on our way to Politicon 2017.
Almost here.
We're in Pasadena, beautiful downtown Pasadena. Mm. We can't wait to potentially interview just other media people.
That's what it seems like.
Because it seems like happening. That's what's going to be happening.
Yep, we're going to interview all of MSNBC.
All of MSNBC,
so
the Young Turks.
Sure, yes.
So we're excited about that, and then also excited to see some of the fireworks that inevitably will go down.
Tommy Lauren, Ann Coulter,
I mean,
all the wackos.
All the wackos come. So, you know, we'll be...
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. We've suddenly found ourselves in the middle of a ton of lines.
God, line city.
Like, who are all these lines for? What are they... What's happening behind these doors? Just got out of the college censorship panel.
Oh, buddy.
That was an exciting one.
That was something.
Possibly because two groups of protesters...
These protesters, we had two groups of them. Two of them were white, not one out. These two over here were saying Trump and Pence must go with their big banner. We're going to have an election in 3.5 years. That's how we do things in this country. And, I mean, I don't understand... It seems like outbursts like that are doing... favors, I think, to Donald Trump and Mike Pence to get reelected. You know? Very
exciting. What an exciting crowd.
That was good stuff, man.
They were maybe all Trumpers. I couldn't tell.
A lot of them.
Maybe they were just angry. It was very hard to tell what they were for. We knew what they were against, which was everything.
Right.
They were against free speech and censorship.
Well, they started chanting Trump, 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 because
exactly.
One of the groups of protesters were holding a sign that said,
Trump, Pence, must go, or something
must
like that.
Go. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yikes.
It was
good
too
times.
Exciting.
Yeah. And that's what you get with Ann Coulter.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
If she's walking around being offended that people are protesting her speech, like, this is the kind
she's
of.
Not.
She's not. Exactly. like, she's there. She wants to be able to lecture you later about it.
Right, exactly.
That's her whole agenda.
That's her game.
Yeah. Her game is all about later being able to be like, well, the liberal elite wants you to think blah, blah, blah. So she got it.
Yeah.
Everyone won in that situation, as far as I can tell. And now we're about to hear...
Except the people who were forcibly removed.
Yes, exactly.
They might have lost.
Well, no, they made their point.
Well, they did. Yes.
They had an exciting moment on our social media.
Uh-huh. Right, that's right.
Now we're about to hear WTF is...
Hillary.
...is Clinton up to.
I wonder if they named this, when they named this, What the Fuck Hillary, if they knew that she was going to be naming her book What Happened. Because
it was,
the name...
It
because
was too accidental.
Because the names... are too similar
to be,
but I'm quite certain this panel was named long before we knew what the name of her book was going to be. Also, who could have known that her book was going to be such a stupid name?
Nobody. We didn't know.
I
would have guessed it was going to be like Changing American Dreams, the story of blah blah, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like something vague that sounds hopeful.
Right. I feel like her book would be more aptly named if she added between the words what and happened. The fuck just.
Yes.
And then we'd be, she'd have a national bestseller.
I might even read that book.
The most powerful message in a democracy is, I'm one of you. And Donald Trump, who went to grad school in a limousine and bragged about grabbing women by the privates, he was able to capture, I'm one of you.
Just got out of the what the fuck Hillary Clinton panel.
Yes.
Paul Begala.
Good, actually.
Has not changed.
He hasn't.
Much. He's trying.
He's getting it more than I was expecting. He's not all the way there.
He really
feels
the call of the 50-year-old unemployed white man in West Virginia.
He does.
He can't yet see anything else.
No.
And it probably didn't help that panel was all white people talking about how to win back Midwestern white voters.
Sure. Yes.
Because as soon, like the conversation about millennials, I thought was disappointing.
It was. Well, they waited 50 minutes to get into it, and then it was just to denigrate them, basically.
Exactly. Which is not unexpected, but disappointing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then I felt like there was no discussion of why the Democrats had... there was maybe one mention by Sally Cohen of why the Democrats had so many difficulties with voters of color, especially women of color, because she was talking about how at the Democratic Convention that was an event that was basically led by black women,
right.
And then the party basically like pretended they had never met them.
Yeah, right.
As soon as they hit the streets.
Right.
But it is interesting only because they spent so much time trying to appeal to white voters
yes.
in the centrist white voters,
right.
And the fact that everyone's takeaway was that they failed at that is disappointing, because what did we win at that?
What I will say, though, and specifically in terms of Paul Begala, but
our arch nemesis,
but also like broadly all of them, is that I feel like we are starting to see a shift. And even we talked about it last week on the podcast with Chuck Schumer. We are seeing a full realization that we have to do something other than to blame Russia and to blame James Comey.
Yes.
And although, like that's new. Within like the last
there
month.
There was a moment where Crystal Ball had to be like, hey guys, what can we do?
Right.
I know we can blame Russia and Comey.
Yes.
What can Democrats do?
Yes.
That's the question. We can't do anything about Russia and Comey. What can we do?
But that shift in sort of like just
it's
like broad
slowly,
thinking
though,
is heartening.
Yes. Yes, and it's long awaited by us, Brain Trust Live.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we're 9 months in the making now,
exactly.
Basically.
And now we're about to go into a panel with Bill Kristol and Simone Sanders, and we can't wait.
Yeah, it should be good.
Yeah. Just finished the Chelsea Handler, Tommy Lauren panel.
It was fun.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Well, I knew it would be. This is my favorite kind of Politicon panel.
It's like this year's Van Jones and Coulter.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
You get to hear this sort of blowout discussion about national
lively
security crowd, and healthcare,
lively
whatever.
Discussion.
Yes, the crowd is mixed.
Chanting.
So it's not a crowd that is just cheering for one or the other, which is always fascinating to hear what the clap lines are for other people.
Big takeaway.
Big
though,
takeaway
guys, is that Tomi Lauren is a 24-year-old who, as she is campaigning to get rid of Obamacare, is currently on her parents' health insurance plan.
She's never purchased health insurance in either the ACA market or in the private market, the free market that she's advocating.
It sucked. She's just using one of those terrible things about Obamacare.
That's right. She liked that one, Brent.
She did like that
one. She liked that one because it impacts her personally.
Right. Exactly, yes.
Exactly.
And if she had a pre-existing condition, she'd probably like that too.
Absolutely. One thing that's interesting about Politicon is it's really your only chance to be around, like, rabid Trump fans in the wild.
Yes. Right.
Like,
well,
normally,
and in Los Angeles.
Everyday lives, we don't run into people who are rabid Trump fans.
Yeah, you don't see people walking around the streets of Los Angeles in t-shirts that say Hillary for prison, but you do here.
You also see a lot of people here in Reagan Bush 84 t-shirts. Inexplicable, but it's happening out there.
Yep.
Just left the Ann Coulter, Anna Kasparian panel. Ann Coulter is a savant in that no matter how much I know that something shocking is about to be said, I am shocked.
Yeah. Well, and she is really a person who should almost be commended for the alternate reality that she is living in.
It's
bonkers. She is like, she should be studied by science.
Let it be known that Ann Coulter just called Donald Trump a tacky billionaire in the flesh. Fascinating turn of events. There's a row of four guys. Three are in Make America Great Again hats and just cheered for a border wall. One guy in the middle just cheered for making our taxpayer dollars go to something better.
Classic.
Who are these friends? Why do they know each other? Half the time she gets halfway through saying something not offensive and then pivots to something so unimaginable.
Right.
She's halfway through explaining why socialism is great and then she pivots to something so racist and offensive that you're just like, how are you holding on to your own brain?
Yeah, she accidentally decided that she liked socialism as long as it didn't have anything to do with immigrants. I mean, she literally said the words, "We're all in this together."
Yeah.
Like,
before pivoting to a conversation about how there's only two races and black people got the short end of the stick, but it's over now. An amazing experience that was. She is a savant at something. Day one down.
That was fun, guys.
That was as fun as usual. We will be back tomorrow.
Yes.
We're hoping to talk to some people.
Yes.
We're hoping to hear some more lively debates between various brands of crackpots, some of whom we agree with, some of whom we couldn't agree with less.
Yes.
Hey guys, we're here on day two.
Day two.
We're early.
Yes.
Too early. We're just sitting in a giant ballroom, just waiting to get in.
Well, we wanted to get here early because we wanted free t-shirts from the MSNBC booth because they're printing them there.
Yeah, they're.
And it was quite a situation.
And you can
yesterday.
Get one that says "Talk Politics"
Talk
to me.
There's so many good t-shirts over there. And so we got here for free t-shirts, and then they're not letting anybody in until 10 o'clock, which is weird because there's a panel that starts at 10:15.
I know. Well, that's
and one that starts at 10:30.
I mean, we're going
but
to
yesterday,
one that starts at 10:30.
Yesterday, they were, like, letting people in at 10, and nothing started until 11:30.
I know.
So it doesn't – I feel like the timing is off, but whatever. Here we sit.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think today is the Tommy Lauren and Simone
and
Sanders.
Simone Sanders. And that is listed as versus.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the Chelsea handler was in conversation with. And this... And that turned into a debate ultimately anyway.
Well, obviously.
Although they
she did try to,
exactly. I mean, what Chelsea Handler was not going to be able to only interview Tommy Lauren and then not tell her that she was an insane person
exactly.
every once in a while.
Yeah.
But this is a debate.
Full versus debate.
Yeah.
We're going to see some comedians today.
Yeah, we're going to see a friend of the podcast, Helen Hong.
That's right.
You'll remember her. She was on before.
Also,
speaking of friends of the podcast... Grant Sloss and Kim Eaton
are both going to be here today. This is like a mega day of every podcast guest we've ever had.
Yeah, so we're gonna make them hang out with us.
Yes.
I mean, we're not going to have to make them. They're going to want to.
That's right.
And they will. That's why they're coming.
Exactly.
So we
convinced at least one of them to come in the first place.
Yeah. So, it'll be fun.
Yeah. And today's
Roger Stone. Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody who had heard from a friend of hers yesterday that they were very, like, put off by... Because there was, like, a little bit of Trump shouting or chanting yesterday.
Yeah.
And her friend was, like, panicking and wrote about it on Facebook. And then everyone was like, be safe.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, the crowd is always rowdy at Politicon.
Yes.
Let's not get too carried away.
Yeah. And the rowdiest portion of the crowd yesterday was anti-Trump people.
Not that
they were rowdy in the sense that they were going to hurt anyone. But, like, the Trump people were only there to, like... be very vocal in their clapping for Ann Coulter and Tommy Lauren just to make sure that everyone knew that they existed as people. Like, they're not here to do anything other than to, like, annoyingly wear Make America Great hats and, like, scream louder than everybody else just because they know they're outnumbered by probably, like, 10-1.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is interesting how many people are wearing suits and Make America Great Again hats.
Yeah.
It seems like those are two diametrically opposed
and Reagan Bush 84 shirts. They have to be giving those away in here. We're going to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
Because I might want one.
There's a lot of those.
Just,
you can't wear that in public.
Not in public, but I mean, like...
Just to know that in private that you have it.
Yeah. Right.
That you can make it sit under your Bernie Sanders for President shirt.
Yeah. That's right. It's an undershirt.
It's an undershirt.
Yes, it's an ironic undershirt.
Brent just informed me that an interesting character here that I had assumed was here to just look like a fabulous person.
Right.
Is actually a Trumper.
Yeah.
Describe his outfit.
Yeah, so one of the... this is Politicon, and, like, some people dress up. Very few people. It's usually just sort of, like, people, like, wearing some sort
and
of, like, political message.
Founding
but,
fathers.
Like, and it's usually founding
outfits,
fathers.
Usually.
But one person was here yesterday, and he was, like, a lot of people were taking pictures of him. We saw him when he came in, actually, yesterday. And he was wearing, like, a red, white, and blue, sort of like a... It was like a... You know, spandex like jumper
spandex
basically
jumpsuit.
Was basically like in drag. I mean, was in makeup.
Right.
I mean, like it wasn't.
And the jumpsuit is like cut all the way down to his crotch.
Cut all the way, like V-neck to the crotch, star on the crotch.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. A suggestive outfit, if you will.
Right. Exactly. Fingernails painted, makeup. Oh, blue hair.
Yeah.
Blue hair. During the Ann Coulter panel that we sat through yesterday, was sitting with a bunch of people who were wearing Make America Great hats again, and was just. Applauding wildly at every single one of Ann Coulter's, you know,
this
like,
is so
applause lines.
Confusing.
It was, I was having, I'm sorry that I didn't point it out to you. I assumed that it was the only thing that you could look at.
It was the only thing I could look at, but I just didn't, it didn't register that he was for Trump.
Oh, yeah, he was.
There is a drag Kellyanne Conway here.
Wait. Might it just be Kellyanne Conway?
It is not Kellyanne Conway.
Okay.
It is definitively a man dressed as Kellyanne Conway. Okay, we just walked out of the Lady Parts Justice panel.
And it was actually not what we thought they were going to be doing stand-up, because that's what they did last year.
Well, that's what it looked like on the program, but it was really a discussion about Lady Parts Justice work, which is great. They're a great organization.
Amazing.
The one thing I would ask of you is to never refer to people who are standing outside of clinics or threaten to kill abortion doctors, or have killed abortion doctors, or have blown up clinics as pro-life. They are not pro-life. They're anti-abortion.
It was like the first session that I'd sat through where like I did not post anything on social media, and it wasn't because there wasn't a million things to post on social media, so I feel a little bad about it. But I was also...
That's cool.
It was the most thoroughly engaged that I had been
They talk about a lot of the issues around reproductive rights that a sort of more glossy, you know, group like Planned Parenthood doesn't address directly.
And can't address directly.
Right,
exactly. Because they talk about fake abortion clinics.
They talk about dealing with protesters outside those
clinics. They talk about the inherent racism that
exactly, happens. Exactly, being sexually harassed by the protesters outside
right.
those clinics.
And
we'll stop by their table after, maybe. Doing awesome work.
I mean, like, so also just look into what they're doing as well, Lady Parts Justice, because they're awesome. Don't really like doing bathroom humor, but I, the last 2 days, I'm like, there are obviously Trump supporters here because the men's bathrooms are an upsetting, disgusting, foul thing that, like, I don't even know how they get the way that they have started to look.
And the women's bathrooms, by the way, totally fine. Couldn't, and
well,
usually
yeah, exactly,
it's the opposite.
I was going to say, like, well, there's no lady Trump supporters here.
Right.
It's because it's all the men, and they're all, like,
urinating
on the floor.
It's 20 to 25-year-old men
like,
in suits.
If you need proof that the real Trump people are here, you just need to do a quick tour of the men's bathroom. It's foul.
Just got out of the Democrats, what are they going to do next panel?
Like the 10th panel of that same discussion that we've heard.
It turns out nobody knows, and that's really all we've taken away at this point. Depending on who you talk... Oh, but Cenk Uygur and Simone Sanders got into, like, a huge agree-arguing shout-off.
They did, about...
Which
about
was exciting.
About Medicare for All.
I think there's a place for Medicare for All. Absolutely. There's a place for single payer.
Oh, my God.
That was everything.
You guys,
everything
the Simone Sanders-Tommy Lahren panel was better than Chelsea Handler by an amount that we couldn't even have.
Yeah.
This was also the most rambunctious audience we've had so far, in the best way.
Sure. Well, for two reasons, I think. One, because Simone Sanders is infinitely smarter than Chelsea Handler.
And
she's our queen. And, you know, Chelsea Handler missed some opportunities yesterday.
Yeah.
And I realized that was supposed to be an interview. But Simone Sanders
didn't miss a single
opportunities. And was also, you know, and the second point being why that was so amazing was because Tommy Lahren was maybe didn't get what she was looking for when she started talking about race in that discussion.
I know.
Which probably wasn't maybe her finest
moment. Well, she can't see color.
These
things about race are not visible to her.
Yeah, she didn't understand why we had to talk about race when we were talking about
incarceration rates.
Right, exactly.
Incarcerations.
Right.
But that's because she can't physically see it. So it doesn't make sense to her. She was able to talk about glass ceilings because she can physically see gender,
and
but she can't see race.
I mean, this empathy is a classic Republican problem.
Yeah.
Or not having empathy is
not
a classic.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I mean, Simone Sanders, like, literally at one point, like, hopped out of her chair and, like, jumped up and down at Tommy Lahren. And, like,
she won 2017.
I want to also, I feel like yesterday, and I don't know if we recorded this or not, but, like, made a few mentions of Tommy Lahren maybe actually not being quite as horrible as I thought, and I want to take every single solitary bit of that back because
we lied to you if we said that yesterday.
I'm like, perhaps when she sort of like learns the ways of the world as she's a 24-year-old, she will maybe even change her mind because she's smart enough. I take that back too.
I think that she is
well on her way to being one of the leading idiots in America.
She is really good at deflecting what are fair points being leveled at her without getting so flustered that she doesn't say the talking point.
Right.
Like, I'm always shocked. Simone Sanders is literally standing over her and screaming on stage because she's being so infuriating.
Yeah.
And she was able to pretty deftly move the conversation away from the thing she was being pointed out as a hypocrite on.
Right.
Without, like, a flustery moment. Like, she does... That's why yesterday we were impressed.
Yeah.
It's because she does a good job of that. It's just that everything that comes out of her mouth is a bunch of complete nonsense bullshit.
Yeah.
She's someone who, like, the fact that black and brown people are treated differently in this country
doesn't affect her.
She doesn't appear to know any of them.
No.
It doesn't affect her. She doesn't have any friends who are affected by this. She doesn't have any people in her circle. Her circle seems to be lobbyists dealing with Venezuela, military people, and then I guess residents of the Dakotas.
Right, exactly. Her continued obsession with Venezuela is
fascinating.
So fascinating.
And baffling.
Yeah.
She mentioned it yet again. She's
all
furious
that
we're talking about Russia and not Venezuela.
Oh, she wants to be talking about Venezuela all the
all
time.
All day, every day.
Yeah.
Whew. What a day, you guys. What a day.
My heart rate.
I know. I'm just finally calming down.
It was also great standing behind
Joyelle
from Lady Parts Justice. We told her at one point, like, please stand us behind us at all events.
Right.
Because, like, she was, like, living for it in, like, the way that I was as well. But, like, was
but
also being
was
very
able
vocal
to be,
about
right,
it.
She was able to vocalize
right.
how excited we all were.
Yes.
And it was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you guys. Ugh. We just finished the women's panel.
Ugh,
that was
women.
The craziest thing I have ever been a part of.
I'm not feeling super keen on my gender right now.
Well, it I just know. Maybe wasn't... we should just pack it in now.
Yeah.
Like, what a...
It wasn't a great panel, and it was not...
It was hijacked.
It was... Well, it was, sort of was. Amy Holmes was not a great moderator. There was some... They opened it up for questions, which was not great. Never... Like, Amy Holmes saying, "What do you have a question? Do you have a question?" is sort of like her version of reclaiming my time.
Yeah.
she had to say it. She had to interrupt every single
time. We got a long-winded conspiracy about the pharmaceutical industrial complex.
Which maybe isn't even a conspiracy theory, but it's just like the whole thing. It was
It wasn't a question about women.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, we just walked out of a panel about the Latino vote.
Yeah.
America Ferrera, by the way, is going to run for office, right?
I mean, America
it's
for
inevitable.
America.
Yeah.
As we said.
I am America.
Or I am America.
Oh, yeah. The slogans write themselves is the point.
I am America.
Also, we saw the Iron Stash.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Good old Saw the Iron
Stash. Randy Bryce, yeah.
Randy Bryce. We saw Joaquin Castro was on that panel. That was actually a pretty good panel.
Like, yeah, I mean, it was especially in terms of, like, substantive
much
like,
more
discussion.
Civilized than the women's panel that we saw.
The working class of today, depending on how you define the working class, is largely women and people of color who are working in retail, Walmart. So when we talk about working class issues, it is our job to reframe. Let's talk about what we're talking about when you say working class.
But in any case, that's a wrap on Politicon 2017. You know, we had a good time.
That's it.
That's done.